Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Were we looking for an asset, or were we trying to use this as some type of leverage ploy? And nothing could be further from the truth. When we make a decision like this, which is a major decision, you know, trying to acquire a second round pick or some type of asset like that is no factor at all. We received no calls in regards to Tom, and if we had, we would have given permission for him to speak to another team as we went through this process.
And they would have said, pretty please. Please give us a draft pick. Gar Forman yesterday at the United Center talking about Tom Thibodeau and the firing, and it was interesting to hear him bring up the second-round draft pick possibility without being
prompted
by that. Jen Latta in for the Capman, Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. Getting back to the phone, 312-235-2525. I don't think the Bulls had any legitimate offers. I do believe him on that because I think the rest of the league knew that this was inevitable. I think they knew that the Bulls really had no choice but, in their minds, they were not going to bring him back. So he was going to get fired. Why give up a draft pick for a guy that was going to be unemployed eventually anyway? And the jobs that – I mean, Orlando hasn't hired anybody yet, have they? No.
Just the talks.
New Orleans is interviewing coaches. Alvin Gentry. Vinny Del Negro is getting a look in New Orleans. Jeff Van Gundy, the guy who is at the root of all of this in terms of the way that he alienated Jerry Reinsdorf back in January with those comments. So those jobs are still open. Denver's still open. I don't see him there. Phoenix could open up because the ripple effect. Here's what could happen. Fred Hoiberg jumps from Iowa State to the Bulls. Jeff Hornacek jumps from the Suns to Iowa State. All of a sudden, the Suns have an opening. I wonder how Tom Thibodeau would like coaching in Phoenix. Get some sun, relax, sit back, go golfing, pick up a hobby, maybe horseback riding.
Pick up a hobby.
He's got to do something to get some
all
balance in his life.
All signs point to that not happening.
Okay, 312-235-2525. Let's go to Jim in Yorkville. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Cap and Haw. Hello, Jim. Hi, Jim. Turn TV off.
Hey, I just did. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
It would have been awesome, Bulls and Hawks, but hey, we got the Hawks. I got a couple of comments I want to say. Big Bulls fan, and the window of opportunity was this year for the Bulls, since it didn't, and that's why the coach is gone. Paul Gasol, I guess, is one of the reasons why we didn't make. Unfortunately, he got injured. And the last game that I saw the Bulls play, I was so sad because it looks like the players just gave up. It looks like even Thibodeau gave up. And one more last thing. I don't know. I've been watching your show for a little bit, and your show just been raised to another level with Jen Latta there. It's great to see her on your show.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Big Jen fan. Thanks for watching. I don't think Tom Thibodeau quit on anybody. I do think the dynamic in the second half against the Cavaliers was odd to see on the court because the team quit on him, perhaps. That maybe illustrated the disconnect between a coach that had driven this team too hard to the brink of exhaustion, perhaps, and, they just stopped playing for him. And I think that maybe typified the problem as much as anything. As far as the window of opportunity for the Bulls, they're going to hire a first-year head coach, maybe a rookie NBA head coach if it's Fred Hoiberg. But they have a roster that if they bring everybody back as it looks like, what are they going to do? They're not trading Joakim Noah. There's no market for Joakim Noah. They're not trading him, Cap. Okay, that's not going to happen. So they're going to be ready to win. Can they win and go further than they did this year, which would be the Eastern Conference Finals, with a first-year head coach?
I think the thing you have to think about is you're always going to have Cleveland and LeBron James standing in your way.
Just getting better.
You cannot advance to the finals without beating that team. And is there any reason to believe that they would take a step backwards?
Only if David Blatt stays. But no, no, I, no
because
I, I'd
even
say that
now
facetiously.
We know that LeBron. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Even now we know LeBron is pulling the strings.
They're not going to get any worse. This was the year to beat them. I think that's why, you know, John Paxson articulated that yesterday, was that they thought this was the year. They had the roster. They had the team. I think, though, another underlying issue here was that the Bulls front office thought this roster was much better than Tom Thibodeau in his heart of hearts thought that it was. I don't think Tom Thibodeau thought that this roster was better than the first one that he had with Omer Asik coming off the bench and Kyle Korver coming off the bench and C.J. Watson. He never bought that, this whole hype, and I was part of the group saying this, that this was the best roster the Bulls have had.
I think if you have players quitting on a coach, no matter how good you think that coach is, you have no choice but to move on. If you have players sneaking into the Advocate Center, tiptoeing like a child on Christmas morning so that Thibodeau doesn't know that you're there, you can grab your sweats and get out without being put through an excruciating, exhausting workout in the middle of the night.
Who's that? Who's that?
You have to move on.
Hey, Joe, come on. Let's do some drills.
Exactly.
Come on, guys. I don't care if it's 11:35. What are you doing here?
All right. I'm going to miss that voice. I can't really imitate it very well, but I'm going to miss,
well,
I'm gonna miss a lot of those things. No, at least I admit it. Thank you. All right, we come back. We're going to talk to Bobby Legesse, the sports columnist from the Ames Tribune, about Fred Hoiberg on Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
It's Cap and Haw.
Quite simply, we're going to be looking for the right fit. The right fit for our individual players, the right fit for our team, the right fit for our organization. We'll be looking for somebody who's a leader, who's got great communication skills, who's got an excellent knowledge, the game of basketball, someone that's an open and creative learner.
As far as the time frame, it's when we find the right guy. And whether that's, you know, a day, a week, a month, 2 months, whatever it is, we're going to do our work and try to find the right fit for our players and for this team.
That was the voice of former Iowa State assistant coach Gar Forman, now the Bulls general manager, talking about the next Bulls head coach, which is likely to be current Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg, because the Bulls can never hire too many former Iowa State coaches. Cap and Haw, Jen Latta in for the Capman back, see us in Chicago, and WGM Plus.
You act like it's like
dot
six.
Com plus two. It's two, but that's a lot. It's
two's
be
a trend.
Two.
Two's a trend.
That's a two. It's a trend, especially when you have a former assistant coach who's your general manager. A lot of Cyclone love, and welcome back to the Iowa State Cyclone Radio Network here at CSN Chicago. So we're going to bring into the program Bobby Legesse, is the columnist for the Ames Tribune, who knows Fred Hoiberg, has covered Fred Hoiberg, and just wrote about Fred Hoiberg's possible departure from Ames and just how delicate that will be, because he's a lifelong Ames, Iowa resident, Fred Hoiberg is, and I imagine he's had a lot of time to think about this. Bobby, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. And what do you expect to happen over the weekend in the next few days?
Yeah, hey, my pleasure to be on the show. And really, I expect this to go quick with Fred Hoiberg. This isn't something that just dropped out of left field yesterday that everybody just found out about and now has to scramble to kind of figure out what they want to do with. Fred Hoiberg's known for a while about this. You know, the Ames Tribune yesterday, we reported he told a high-profile recruit a few months ago that he couldn't necessarily commit to coaching Iowa State for this upcoming season. Now, that's something he's told other recruits in the past, but it's a little bit different when this Bulls job's kind of been sitting out there a little bit after that. Fred's had time to think about this. The Bulls, you know, have had time to figure out what their plan's going to be, and Fred's been number one on their wish list. That's no surprise to anybody. So I think it's going to be a really short situation where at some point they're going to meet, you know, they're going to go through the interview process, and either Fred's going to become the head coach, which most everybody believes will happen, or the shocker will happen and he moves on to stay at Iowa State. But I don't think this is something that lasts beyond, you know, really early next week at the latest.
There seems to be an inevitability with the Iowa State fan base. I was with an intern, a CSN Chicago intern yesterday who attends the university, and said, yeah, we're really disappointed we're losing him. I said, oh, hold the phone. He's not gone yet. But what is it about him personality-wise, you heard Gar Forman kind of giving their list of characteristics they want from a head coach that would make him a good fit in Chicago.
Yeah, he hits every check mark that Gar basically brought up yesterday. He's a good communicator. He's known as a player's coach, will work with them. Most high-profile case there is probably Royce White, who's had some issues in the NBA with anxiety. The most success Royce White's ever had has been with Fred Hoiberg, and that's because he worked with him. Fred is an offensive mind. He basically brought the NBA spacing three-point principles that you see kind of dominating the league now to college and found a lot of success with that. He's big into analytics, which is something that's also big in the NBA. I think if you're looking for a leader, for somebody who can, you know, do everything Gar said, take the Bulls to what they hope is a level beyond what they've been able to achieve these last few years, Fred hits every mark on that box that you're hoping to get out of whoever the next head coach of the Bulls is.
Joined by Bobby Legeste, the columnist for the Ames Tribune, and you mentioned Royce White. Royce White is down to two teams, I believe. It was reported by RealGM.com, and the Bulls were one of them in terms of signing this summer, which would be interesting because of the Hoiberg connection, which is what a lot of people read into that when that was reported. So, Bobby, from what I understand, you're from this area, St. Charles, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you're familiar with the Chicago market, the Chicago media. Not that that's a big factor for anybody hiring a coach, but yesterday we heard a lot about communication. We know the Bulls want to hire somebody that projects well, not only to players and fellow employees, but somebody who is good for the culture, and that includes, you know, being good with the media. Having been around Fred Hoiberg as much as you have in your role as a columnist there, probably seeing him up close and personal, how would you think his personality will translate in this market?
It'll work perfectly. He's somebody who's been in front of the camera since he was a teenager. He was a star athlete at Ames High School. He won a basketball state title, was a star football player. Nebraska actually offered him their quarterbacking job as a scholarship that he passed on to play basketball at Iowa State. He's been doing interviews, been in front of the camera since he's a teenager. He's as home there as he is anywhere else. He knows how to say the right things. He can, you know, crack a joke at a great time in a press conference. He can talk to the media, whether it's in a, you know, major press conference setting, one-on-one, and he knows how to play the politicking game. He's been in an NBA front office. You know, he knows that he's going to have to say some nice things about the owner in the front office from time to time, which I know hasn't always necessarily been the case. It's been going on with Chicago the last few years. So he's as experienced as anybody as there is dealing with people, the situation, talking in front of a camera. And I have never seen a situation that Fred's been asked a question out of left field, anything that he hasn't been able to have an answer to. It's amazing. He's more comfortable in front of a camera talking to anybody than anybody else I've ever seen in my life.
You know, a lot was made within the last few months of his health issues, his health concerns. Not saying that the NBA is exceedingly stressful when compared to the college game. They're certainly different animals. But has that been something that has held him back perhaps from kind of embracing this wholeheartedly, or do you think that it will have no bearing on his decision?
I don't think it'll have any real bearing on his decision. You know, because he's in college, it isn't like he's coaching a youth team where they only play once a week. He's traveling across the country.
Sure.
Granted, you know, the NBA is more games than you play in college, but it's something he's always monitored. He's always been on. He recently just had open heart surgery for what he hopes will be the last time to kind of solve most of the issues he has going on there, even though he does still have a pacemaker that's something to be monitored. I don't think it's something he's too worried about. I don't think the heart's been the reason. He hasn't taken an NBA job yet. He's been offered a lot in the past, almost double digits, and didn't take them because they weren't the right fit for him. I think Fred, more than anybody, knows his heart situation. This was the second heart surgery. He knows the recovery, what he can do, everything with that. I don't think that's an issue going forward, because if it was, I don't necessarily know if he would have taken the Iowa State coaching job, just because the rigors of being the coach from there, you know, is a lot that if you do have heart issues and concerns, it would crop up there, not just at the NBA level.
So, Bobby, before we let you go, bottom line it for us. So if you had to guess percentage-wise, what are the odds, what's the percentage of Fred Hoiberg saying goodbye to his hometown, leaving the comfort zone that he is currently living in and working around, and becoming the Bulls head coach next week?
I would say extremely high. Probably, you know, if it doesn't happen, it would probably be as shocking to see a 1 seed lose to a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Just all the vibes with everything around here makes it feel like, you know, everyone
everyone around here just embracing and waiting just kind of for that other shoe to drop with Fred to be announced the Bulls head coach.
And last thing, who takes the Iowa State job? There's a lot of rumors that maybe Jeff Hornacek is a guy on the list. That's going to be a very attractive position. It's a big-time job now.
Yeah, it is. Could be top five this upcoming season, potential Final Four team. Hornacek is one of the names at the top of the list. He is a Chicago suburb native, played at Iowa State. Another name to keep an eye out for is Iowa State assistant men's basketball coach T.J. Otzelberger. He just came back. This is his second stint here as an assistant coach and as somebody who's kind of in the college ranks been looked at as a head coach for some other spots. So those would be two big names to look at, kind of with some ties to the Cyclones.
Bobby, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your insight. Appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure.
Bobby Legeste, the columnist for the Ames Tribune, talking about Fred Hoiberg and compared the chances of him staying at Iowa State as good as a 16 seed beating a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Which we know has never happened. Gary right. Parrish also reporting that Iowa State athletic director has already informally talked with a search firm to start identifying potential coaching candidates in anticipation of Hoiberg leaving. Interestingly, one of the people on his list, UTEP's
Tim Floyd. Homecoming. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, he did interview for the DePaul job.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tim Floyd is definitely not happy, apparently, in UTEP. I guess a good old El Paso.
Isn't the carousel funny,
Floyd's
though?
Like, the coaching carousel, the network, very seldom do you see, I don't say very seldom, but you see a lot of guys who get recycled on it. Yes, it is very interesting.
All right. Coming up today on CSN, big day.
Big day.
At the network. Cubs Kansas City today at 2:30. Then we've got Cubs postgame live. Sox at Houston tonight at 7 p.m. Sportsnet Central tonight after Cubs postgame live. Chicago Fire versus Montreal Impact coverage starts tomorrow night at 7. And we'll have minor league baseball this weekend as well. And don't forget a brand new episode of
Beer Money. Yes.
Comes your way Sunday night at 9 p.m.
Sunday 9 p.m. and Sportsnet Central tonight at 10. Who's hosting that?
That would be me.
Okay. Just checking. Making sure you got your priorities straight.
Making sure we got all the hours
in. All right. That's great.
Click,
that's
click,
Jen
click,
Ladin
click,
for
click.
The Catman and Cap'n Haw. We're going to talk to Chuck Swirsky next about the Bulls and also his fill-in role. He's filling in for Hawk Harrelson, doing a great job on the White Sox play-by-play booth alongside Steve Stone. He's next on Cap'n Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Obviously, there was a breakdown. That's not a secret by any stretch of the imagination. And again, we're not going to get into all those specific things. But you have to have a situation where you're all pulling in the same direction. And once that stops, then it's very difficult to move forward.
John Paxson yesterday at the United Center talking about Tom Thibodeau's firing and the reasons that contributed to that decision. Cap'n Haw, Jen Latta in for Dave Kaplan, who is out of town on vacation. Having a great time. And we're on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Pleased to welcome now the voice of the Chicago Bulls, also doing a great job filling in on CSN Chicago in the White Sox play-by-play booth for Hawk Harrelson, alongside Steve Stone. Chuck Swirsky joins us. Chuck, welcome to the program. Appreciate you taking the time. We know it's been a very busy week.
David and Jen, thank you. Yeah, we had a long day at the office yesterday in Baltimore, and we got in pretty late here in Houston. But you know what? It's fun. So anyway, good to be with you.
That's great. Your enthusiasm is always your trademark. And I want to get to the Sox and how this week of transition has been for you. But Chuck, we have to, since, you know, the big news yesterday, Tom Thibodeau getting fired, you're as close to the team as anybody. Just wanted to get your reaction and number one, your level of your surprise and just what you think of this moving forward. What the Bulls, obviously, we've been talking about Fred Hoiberg as maybe the next head coach, but just what you anticipate.
Well, number one, and I mean this sincerely, and I'm speaking from the bottom of my heart. You know, I've been doing the NBA. I'm going on my 18th year. I've been in basketball since I was a little boy. And something that has been ingrained in me from day one in sports is you always think what's best for the organization. And you can say that not only in terms of the Bulls, you can say it about a TV radio station, You can say it about a restaurant. You can say whatever the case may be. Whatever business you're running, the big picture is what's best for the organization. And in my opinion, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but what is best for the organization was to make this move.
Yeah, I think that now that a lot of this stuff has emerged, it's very clear that a divorce was inevitable, that these were two sides that just could not see eye to eye. And it's difficult to not put blame on one side or the other. Certainly a big portion of the fan base believes that Thibodeau is the best coach that this team and this franchise has had since Phil Jackson. It's difficult for them to understand why the team had to go in two different directions. But for you personally, did you ever feel any of that angst or just knowing that the environment was growing increasingly toxic as the season went on?
You know what, Jen? I live in an insulated bubble, and here's exactly what happens. And, you know, you've been at Bulls games. David, I know, has covered the Bulls. And here's my world. I get to the United Center at about 2:30. I pick up press game notes. I set up my little iPad. I do my due diligence as far as who's hurt, who's not hurt. Get a chance to talk to the visiting broadcasters. I listened to the head coaches respectively. I did a 5-minute pregame show with Tom Thibodeau. I call the ball game. I go in the locker room, do Bulls TV work, and I go home. You know, my world is very rigid. It's very structured. And not one time did I ever allow myself to, keep tabs about, what's happening, what's not happening, because all that stuff is none of my concern. I'm paid to broadcast a game. And so, that basically, maybe not what you want to hear, but that's the truth.
No, we want to hear the truth.
Yeah,
thanks,
the truth.
Chuck.
Joined by Chuck Swirsky, the Bulls Radio Network play-by-play man, filling in the White Sox play-by-play booth this week alongside Steve Stone. One more Bulls question for you, Chuck, because I do want to talk to you about the Sox work this week. So you are around the players, though. I know that as much as you are in the insulated bubble, you do spend a lot of time in that locker room after games, and you know the personality, and you know the roster configuration as well as anybody. Do you believe, in your opinion, having been around in the NBA scene for 18 years, that this Bulls team is – if they hire a first-time NBA head coach, if it is Fred Hoiberg, as it looks like it will be, is this Bulls team built and ready to take one step further next year than they went this year?
Well, David, regardless of who the coach is, the Bulls have a lot of terrific, terrific players. This roster, this is just my opinion again. I can't speak for the organization. I can't speak for the players. Can't speak for anyone. This is just my opinion. I think the Bulls had a better team than Cleveland, okay? That's just my opinion. In my opinion, they should have won that series. They didn't. But whoever comes in is going to have a great opportunity to win with this ball club. And, I have a great deal of faith and trust in Pax and in Gar. I've seen them operate. I've seen their drafts. I've seen how meticulous they are with how they bring in character players. And believe me, I'm in this locker room 24/7 doing my work, broadcasting, Bulls TV. I know the quality and the character of these players, David and Jen. And you know what? I have complete faith in where this ball club is headed, the direction they're going, and the type of coach they're going to bring in, period.
So, Chuck, all right, let's switch gears because you know what? You are all things baseball this week, and you have made the transition pretty seamlessly. I have to compliment you. Watching the other night, and I was surprised to learn that you had never done play-by-play in the baseball booth before, because I think that you proved that in professional broadcasting is professional broadcasting. When you're good at something, you're good at something. And I give you credit for being able to make that transition and play to your strengths and know what you don't know necessarily. But you're using Steve Stone, and you're using him in a way, Chuck, that I think brings out his strengths. And I think wondered just, number one, how much fun have you had, and how daunting was the challenge when it was posed to you?
Wow. Well, I haven't exhaled yet because this is, is it fun? Yes. Is it challenging? Most definitely. Working with Steve Stone, I told him after the doubleheader yesterday that I said, so, Steve, let me get this. Like, after five games, I've asked you, what, 3,212 questions. But, I mean, I mean, I'd be a fool to not tap in to the resources of a man who not only won a Cy Young Award, but he's been in this game from day one. You know, I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. And, you know, I have to get out of the way. This isn't about me. It's about, first and foremost, the game. And it's about allowing the viewers to have a chance to understand what's going on with this game. And it changes, as you know, game to game. Every game has a narrative. But, you know, Steve has sat in the booth with two different teams in two different leagues in the same city. And he knows what he's doing. And I have utmost respect for him. So, guess what, Jen? I get out of the way. Face at the left, Steve. And so that's, you know, but I'm having a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I can't replace Hawk. I'm not replacing Hawk. I'm filling in for Hawk. He's an icon, and I cannot even step 1 foot in his shoes. Not one. Maybe a little toe, but not a foot.
The casual observer would say that the biggest difference between the two sports is the pace of play. Has that been a welcome difference for you, in that maybe you have a little more time to think? I know basketball at this stage, I'm certain, is instinctive for you, but does that help at all with the transition?
Well, you know what? That's a good question. From the pace standpoint, obviously they're much different. And I'm a basketball junkie. I was a gym rat as a little boy growing up, and I love the game of basketball. And I love baseball. But when you come in a quarter to a season, and not only trying to fill in for an icon in Hawk, and trying to pick up a pace, as David mentioned, I mean, I've really never done baseball. I've done pregame shows, you know, with the Cubs and the Tigers and whatnot, but not like this. And so you pick them up, you know, the players don't know you. You don't know the players. But the coaching staff's been great. I mean, you know, Robin Ventura is terrific, as you know, guys. And, you know, Don Cooper's been great. Mark Parent's been outstanding. I mean, the whole staff's been great. And they're spoon-feeding me. And I just have to understand that, you know, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, because guess what? I am not, and I won't.
Before we let you go, Chuck, and joined by Chuck Swirsky, the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls, as well as now filling in for Hawk and the White Sox play-by-play booth. So what's the hardest thing from your vantage point to adjust to? Is it the depth and length of a fly ball? You know, you don't want to make it sound like, you know, with due respect, I think Chip Carey used to make every fly ball hit like sound like it was being, you know, on Waveland Avenue. I mean, is it difficult for you to make those sort of adjustments so you don't oversell a routine fly ball, or that you know something's happening before it happens? Is it hard to anticipate what's next, Chuck?
Very good question. Excellent question. See, in basketball, if you have a 2-on-1 fast break, for example, let's say Butler and Rose are in transition, you can tell that either someone's going to take it straight to the basket, or the other player is going to get a touch pass and go in for a layup or a pull-up jumper or whatever. So your mind is already, while all this is racing over the 8-second line, you can already anticipate something of one or two options is going to happen. In baseball, it doesn't work that way. So what I've done, and even if I don't care if I'm 2 seconds slow, I want to make sure it's right. And that's what I'm doing, or at least I'm attempting to do, because I have to pull back. If there's a fly ball, I want to see where the outfielder is judging the ball. If the ball is sliced down the line, I'm going to hold up before I say it's fair or foul and wait for the umpire to make that hand gesture. And, you know, I mean, Hawk and Steve, they know this game so well, and they can tell as far as distance and the arc of the ball and all that good stuff. I can't, because I haven't, you know, followed it from that view and that vantage point on a daily basis. So at this point, when there's a fly ball, I'm going to judge whether it's hit, you know, deep or shallow or wherever. The same thing with home runs, because I do not want to fall prey to a situation where, you know, you call a home run and it's a fly ball on the track.
Chuck, you're in Houston, so before we let you go, any signs, and how have you been seeing people dealing with the floods there, and has it affected your travel at all?
Well, it didn't affect our travel, David, but it's been devastating. My heart goes out to the people here in Texas and Oklahoma. I know this is hard to believe, Jim, but I actually did get a haircut this morning. And so I went downstairs and I was talking with the barbers and all this, and they were just talking about the devastation in this area. And as I'm speaking right now, it's starting to rain here, not torrentially, but sprinkles. Here in Houston, they've got a retractable roof, as you know, so the game will not be postponed. But I mean, it's been horrible. It really has.
It's terrible, and I think you put it well. You just feel for the people down there, and hope that everybody gets through it. Chuck, thank you for your time. We know it's been a busy week. Appreciate your perspective on the Bulls and just talking about the transition into the Sox play-by-play booth. Have a great weekend.
All right, David. Thanks, Jen.
See you later.
Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play voice for the Bulls, as well as the White Sox play-by-play guy tonight in Houston for the White Sox and the Astros, filling in for Hawk Harrelson and asking Steve Stone question after question after question. And it's great because we're getting the best of Steve Stone, too.
And look, there's somebody who's very good at his job, but also acknowledges where he can improve or what like he said, he knows what his weaknesses are. He defers to others. Quite a juxtaposition there between the gentleman we've been speaking about most of the morning
yes.
The venerable Chuck Swirsky. Hey, join CSN Chicago tomorrow night at Anthem Bar in Wicker Park for a special Game 7 edition of Chevy Blackhawks Pregame Live. It's hosted by Coors Light. Also, Pat, Steve, and Jamal will be there. They'll get you ready for the action. You can enjoy Coors Light, some giveaways. That's tomorrow night at 6:30, Anthem Bar in Wicker Park.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you'll get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt, pleasing people since 1936. Okay, we will get to your phone calls when we come back. Corey, Sean, Jerry, we'll get to you with full phone lines, Cap and Haw. Then we'll shift gears. Eventually, we're going to talk about Game 7 because Game 7 tomorrow night is a big deal in California. Cap and Haw, see us in Chicago, WGNplus.com.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
It's not about one decision maker or anything. Jerry's involved. Mike is often involved. Gar and I are always involved, and we always come to the decision in the best interest of the organization. And in that respect, the minutes thing was to give our players the best chance to succeed this year. There's never any guarantee, but I think we did. I know we did. We did the right thing for our guys. Tom was part of all the discussions prior to the season. He heard everything from our doctors medically. He knew exactly what was going on, yes.
You know, it's interesting because we never did get asked about it during the year, but it was collaborative.
Those are the voices of John Paxson and Gar Forman yesterday, talking about minutes limits, talking about the reasons why they fired Tom Thibodeau and why they are looking for a head coach today. Well, they've already found him, but they're still looking because they can't pretend. They have to pretend like they're still looking because they've already found him. But they found him last year. So
what?
Anyway.
What are you saying? Right. What are you
they
doing?
They know what they got. They got their guy. Cap'n Haw, Jen Latta in for the Capman. CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. So my night will take me to California and my week will end the way it began. Monday morning, I flew into California, good old John Wayne Airport in Orange County. Get off the plane and my phone notified me, along with about a half dozen text messages. Ray McDonald was arrested. And then the Bears PR mess, you know, began. Or you had to deal with that. They cut him, but that was a thing. The week ends on Friday dealing with the Bulls little. Well, it's more than a PR mess, but it certainly wasn't an ideal way to handle a crisis or handle a situation in the way that Jerry Reinsdorf basically booted Tom Thibodeau out the door and took a parting shot at the way that he polluted the culture. It's been quite a week for Chicago sports. When John Lester faces Max Scherzer at Wrigley Field and it's an afterthought, and it was the other night, because, by the way, we've got Game 7 in Anaheim, which is why I'm going to California tonight, tomorrow night, and you got Game game seven for the Blackhawks, who are one win away from returning to the Stanley Cup Finals, which is a tremendous thing. Is going to be so much fun if they're able to do that. What a week it has been for the best of Chicago and the worst of Chicago sports. And we don't know if this is going to be remembered. This could be actually go down as one of the worst weeks if the Hawks lose tomorrow night in terrible fashion and everybody just wants to forget this week. But what a week it's been.
I think it's important to recognize that you can and should be able to question slash criticize the actions of people, acknowledging that no one is flawless, acknowledging that sometimes executives err, without it being an indictment on that person, an indictment of that character. So while we have questioned the way that this firing was handled, which I think we are well within our right to do so, it's not an indictment of Jerry Reinsdorf, Gar Forman, John Paxson. These are people who handled something, and you and I have spoken about how...
Right. You made a distinction during the break because you don't, you know, I don't at least. I don't criticize people lightly. I mean, you understand that there's a responsibility when you are either writing for this, for the Tribune, which is a privilege to do every day, or sitting here and being able to critique the actions of people that we cover. You made a distinction between, I referred to it as, you know, it was petty. I thought it was petty the way that this was handled in the way that Tom Thibodeau was criticized on his way out. And you said, you know, and it's a good distinction to remember, the act was petty, the person making it wasn't necessarily petty.
Correct.
And I think that's a good way to look at it. We're not, this isn't personal. This, you know, very, when things in professional life, you want to separate the personal and the professional. I don't think the Bulls were able to do that here.
I think that's the irony here.
That is the irony, is that here we're addressing a situation where personal feelings clouded their professional judgment, in my opinion, my professional opinion. But I think when we're talking about, well, the reason I wouldn't have done this or would have done that, or why Jerry Reinsdorf to me crossed a line, still the greatest owner in Chicago sports history, in my opinion. But doesn't mean he's flawless, doesn't mean he's infallible. And it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means that I don't think he handled this well. I think that's within everybody's right to have an opinion.
I agree.
And to express it if that's part of their job or if you're just a fan.
And it's important to hear the distinction. It's important to note the distinction between, and look, I will do this to my son. If he does something stupid, I say, that was a stupid move, pal. I don't say, you're stupid. There's a big distinction there.
That's
and it
good.
Should be recognized.
That's a good mom. That's a good mom move. That's a good thing. I will remember that. When I'm on the plane tonight listening to Taylor Swift in my ear, I will remember what you said there because it'll stick with me. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-235-2525. Or maybe I'll listen to a little John Mayer tonight.
Now either one.
Yeah, okay. Corey is in Chicago. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
John Mayer's a bad choice. And anyway. just now that, I mean, Hoiberg's obviously the candidate. But now the Bulls have established a reputation as a under-the-bus-throwing front office. You look at Vinny, you look at Phil Jackson, and now you look at Tibbs. 2 out of 3 won for them, and they've all left their positions with fire thrown to them. They couldn't just release a statement that said, we're agreed to move forward in a different direction, thanks for the memories. They had to throw him under the bus. And attracting other coaches and attracting guys who – you know, our successful college coaches, it's going to be difficult for them now. They've created a bad reputation about themselves.
Well, thanks, Corey. I appreciate the phone call. It's a good perspective. It's a good question and point to raise. I don't think it will be difficult because I think they already have their guy. And I don't think Fred Hoiberg is going to stay away from Chicago because of Tom Thibodeau's treatment. But I do think the broader point, to whatever degree it bothers you that your reputation is damaged, your reputation was damaged by the way that this was handled. I think that's a fair way to look at it. But Hoiberg's coming no matter what. I don't think he's going to be hesitant because of what happened to Tom Thibodeau. You agree?
And just because two sides have a combustible relationship doesn't mean that when you bring in another party, they will automatically combust. Certainly there are characteristics that don't work well with anybody.
Sure.
But it's also, again, we keep using the marriage. It's not a literal marriage, but it is that combination of qualities, and if Hoiberg just fits in better with that environment,
then it might work.
It could work. It does. It's not necessarily an indictment on the entire environment.
That dynamic might be more productive
because this dynamic didn't work.
Let's go to Jerry in the West Loop. Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for holding.
How? I'm sending you the Lou Malinati. You're the only guy, I listen to all the talk shows, the only guy that speak up how you feel. I don't know if we have a fear that we can't speak up. I heard Swirsky at the baseball game, Steve Stone asking the same question. These guys can't answer, but you answer. And I got one other comment, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay.
PAX has been there about 10 years, vice president, general manager. Am I correct? Somewhere around there?
He's been there a while.
He's hired, three coaches, Floyd, Del Negro, Skiles, this guy
here. He did not hire Floyd. He hired Scott Skiles, I believe. He hired Vinny Del Negro, and he hired Tom Thibodeau.
Okay, three guys. None of these guys, quote-unquote, have been successful as far as taking the team to the next level. Doesn't that say something about the guy that's doing the hiring? Are you hiring the wrong people? You know, that's my comment. But, man, I compliment you for being one of the few guys to speak out in Chicago. Hey,
thanks,
I disagree
Jerry.
With you a lot, but, man, you're the guy. You're the weekend.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call. I think that, obviously, the heat will intensify on not only John Paxton but Gar Forman after yesterday, because what they have said was, essentially, without saying it, organizations win championships. They repeated the Jerry Krause mantra, and they put more pressure on the front office when you fire the most successful head coach since Phil Jackson. You're saying as a group, as a management group, our way is better than his way, so believe in us. And so with that comes pressure. There's no two ways about it. They have intensified the heat around them. And I'm sure they understand, acknowledge, and accept that. I mean, I'm not sure of that, but I presume that they do. So anyway, all right, let's hit the ice. I just got whispered, let's hit the ice. Okay, let's talk hockey. This is Hockey Town, after all. It's May 28th. We're talking hoops. All right, we're going to talk hockey and Game 7. We got Chris Cook coming up on the program at 11:10. We're going to set the stage for Game 7 at the Duck Pond in Anaheim, where I'm headed tonight. Cap and Haw, Jen Latta in for the Cap Man, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.